From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. Polls for French voters selecting their next president scheduled to remain open for several more hours. This election is being closely watched globally. VOA's Luis Ramirez explains why.
This is a very important election for France because essentially voters are going to decide whether France should stay the course of globalization, whether it should stay in the EU, or whether it should find its way outside of it, much like Britain did almost a year ago. This has been a very divisive election in which you have centrist candidates proposing remaining engaged with Europe with a reformed EU. And on the other hand, of course, the reason why so many people around the world are watching this election is because in case the polls are wrong and in case Marine Le Pen wins this election, we would see France take a very sharp turn in a different direction.
Security forces in Iraq say two people were killed and six wounded when militants attacked a base in northern Iraq where U.S. military advisors are stationed. It was not immediately clear if U.S. personnel were among the dead and wounded. Authorities say two of the insurgents were killed when their suicide vests detonated on the base located near Kirkuk. Three other militants were shot dead by Kurdish fighters. Reuters reports Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attack, saying it had killed and wounded dozens of crusaders and apostates, a reference to the forces and the Western military advisors. Iraqi forces, backed by a U.S.-led coalition, are fighting to dislodge Islamic State from Mosul, 140 kilometers northwest of Kirkuk. More at voanews.com. This is VOA News. Boko Haram extremists in northern Nigeria have released 82 schoolgirls kidnapped in 2014 by the militant group in the town of Chibok near Nigeria's borders. Nigerian government officials confirmed the releases early Sunday. CNN quoted a government official close to the situation as saying that the girls are under military protection in a northeastern town near the border with Cameroon. Buki Shonibari, one of the founding members of the Bring Back Our Girls campaign.
This is a very, very exciting news for us. That we have over 80 of our girls coming back again means over 80 girls no longer in the den of the abductors. And this is an exciting news for us, for the parents, for the Chibok community, for their relatives, for their friends, and for their family. So, yes, it's a very exciting and welcome development for us.
The girls are said to be transferred Sunday to the Nigerian capital, where they will be received by the president, and they will undergo medical testing before being reunited with their families. Top U.S. and Russian military officials say they have agreed to revive a previous agreement intended to prevent any mid-air incidents by warplanes from the two countries flying over Syria. Statements in Washington and Moscow Saturday said General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, spoke by telephone with his Russian counterpart and that they agreed to fully restore an agreement on using Syrian airspace that had been in force from late 2015 through most of last year. The two senior generals also discussed the recent agreement in which Russia, Turkey, and Iran agreed on a Kremlin-proposed plan to reduce the violence in Syria through de-escalation zones, areas of the war-torn country where clashes began between Syrian rebels and forces of the Damascus government. Police in the Indian-controlled portion of Kashmir say that rebels have attacked a police squad, killing three civilians and a police officer. An assailant was also killed when officers returned fire. Officials say the police unit came under fire late Saturday when it was working to clear the site of a road accident. Various insurgent groups have been fighting for decades for both Kashmir's independence from India or merger with Pakistan. Both countries claim all of Kashmir. U.S. President Donald Trump's administration is proposing to dramatically slash funding for the White House Drug Control Office after Mr. Trump campaigned to fix the nation's growing opioid abuse crisis. A preliminary 2018 budget document from the Office of Management and Budget would reduce funding for the Office of National Drug Control Policy by 95% from $364 million to just $24 million. I'm Tommy McNeil in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.